Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Once a week, our friends from Gothamist come by and fill us in on the headlines that are getting a lot of clicks at Gothamist.com. This week, we're talking about the on-again, off-again Woodstock 50th Anniversary Festival, a very special production of Alien, and they better not touch the White Horse Tavern. That's all I've got to say. Join me are Ben Yakis, Jen Carlson, and Paula Mieha. Guys, thank you so much for coming in.
Hi.
Hello.
So, okay, the Woodstock thing, Jen. You've been covering this. I have to look at the timestamps on these two headlines because the first one said, Woodstock 50 canceled was probably going to be the next Firefest. 24 hours later, Woodstock organizer, Woodstock 50 will take place and will be a blast.
Yes.
What is happening in Ulster County?
I don't know, but I am very here for it. And I am loving all of like the back and forth with all these new things coming out today. There's like Vegas is taking like bets on odds if it's going to happen or not. Basically, what's happening is that Michael Lang, who was one of the original organizers for the 1969 festival, is saying this is going to happen a day after the investors, who already put $30 million into the lineup, said it's not happening, we're out, it's canceled. So
that's a pretty big difference. That's like not a lot, not a crossover there.
And now the artists' representation, they're all saying like, oh, the artists aren't playing. They're out. Like, it's been canceled. Yeah, so
even if Lang can somehow figure out how to, like, get the permits and everything he needs to get, I don't know what artists are going to, like, step up to play this at this point.
I mean, the list was Jay-Z, Chance the Rapper, Miley Cyrus, Janelle Monáe, Kacey Musk. I mean, these were big names. So allegedly, according to the money people, the artists had been paid already. Is that true?
Yeah, I think they were paid. It seems like they were paid. And then they're kind of like free out of their contract now because the investor said it's canceled. There is some like probably legal issues. Like Michael Lang is correct in saying that they don't have the right to cancel it because he owns the Woodstock brand and, you know, he hasn't said it's canceled. So who knows what's going to happen? I kind of hope something happens. I don't know, like a bonfire.
I know.
Acoustic acts, like, I don't know, just something.
I know a little musical artist by the name of Ja Rule who is a little loose with the kind of festivals he associates himself with. Maybe he'd want to get on the ground floor of this disaster.
Yeah. Well, I have a house in Woodstock, and there's a drum circle every Sunday from 4 to 6. So maybe we just make it a big one.
Call Allison. She's going to host the Woodstock 50.
Right. Just make the drum circle. Everybody bring a drum. Go to Tinker Street. So this is really to be continued, it sounds like.
Yeah, it seems every day. Thank God there's a new headline.
That is a lot of money to be uncertain about, to be honest. I think that's sort of shocking to me.
Yeah.
All right, Ben, you have a happier story.
Yeah, I think this is like one of the more delightful stories of the week, which is that the North Bergen High School Drama Club put on a performance of Alien, the landmark sci-fi horror movie. They turned it into a high school performance with incredible like set designs. They made the xenomorphs, you know, the aliens. They made the spaceships and spacesuits. And this thing became like an internet sensation to the point that they had two performances of it last month. And everyone was like, oh my God, this is so amazing. So they decided that they were able to put together enough to put on another performance on Alien Day, which is the day in which people celebrate the movie Alien.
Who knew? Hallmark will have a card for that next year. So the interesting thing about it is that the people who were in the original Alien, Sigourney Weaver, Ridley Scott, they found out about this.
They loved this. And they loved it so much that Sigourney Weaver showed up for this performance last week on Alien Day.
That's so amazing. We have some tape. I think we have tape of it. Let's listen.
Hey, guys. I saw a bit of your production of Alien, and I just want to say it looked incredible. You put so much heart and soul into that, and the alien, I must say, looked very real to me. And I just wanted to send our compliments, not only from me, but from James Cameron and the original screenwriter, Walter Hill. We all say, bravo, well done. And just one more thing. You know, the alien might still be around. So when you're opening your locker, just do it very slowly.
I love that. I love that, you know, it's not like, hey, cease and desist on
Alien. No, no.
That's so great.
No, God. But and also, so that was a video that she put online after all this first came out. But she then showed up in person and introduced the play in this like special performance that they did.
The only reason I didn't play the clip of them meeting her is just screaming.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God.
It's just kids screaming.
There are all these clips of her behind backstage and the kids are just like freaking out and hugging her. And you can only kind of hear her because it's so crazy. And by the way, the whole production cost $3,500. That's it, to put on this really incredible special thing.
That's great. And I think there's actually a video of it online, like a dad's
video. It's literally like somebody's parent got their iPhone out and put it on the side and is then like darting back and forth to try to get a clear view because it goes out of focus.
Love that,
every
dad.
Once in a while.
Love that, dad or mom. Okay, so we had the screenwriters for the Avengers on.
Yes.
We love him. Spoiler, folks. You just walk away for a minute. So, Ben, you were literally outside the door, and you stalked them to the elevator.
You might not realize this, Allison, but I actually was in the corner of the room. I was hiding out here.
You were
so engrossed in the conversation, you didn't see me in the corner.
Oh, that's it. Now, did you learn anything? Was there something that you would have followed up with? Now that you've seen the movie, you are truly an aficionado.
So this is a very minor spoiler. This is not a major like plot or anything. But Thor has a transformation in the movie. He is really upset by the fact that he was not able to win the day and defeat Thanos in time before all of their friends disappeared. And, you know, we see all of the major characters, how they respond to this. And Thor basically becomes an alcoholic. He loses his shape. He puts on some weight.
He eats his feelings.
And I think it's a very, you know, plot-wise, it makes sense. But all these jokes then come out with everybody calling him Lebowski. And he literally is wearing the shades and the same sweater that the Big Lebowski wears in that movie. And I was like, did you have to go to the Coen brothers and get their blessing, their permission? And they said no. They said that this was a loving homage and that they sort of just went for it and they haven't heard anything. So I guess the Coen brothers were okay with it. But that was something that I just immediately was like, wow, like I can't believe they were able to just sort of like turn Thor into the Big Lebowski.
Did that make your day asking that?
Yeah. And I mean, then again, I chased them down the hall and they got in the elevator and I just kept stopping the elevator from closing.
And then security came. Okay. This is the next headline. Historic White House Tavern closes for renovation as new owner takes over. Paula, when I see it closed for renovation in the West Village, I get scared.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are concerned because whatever changes are coming are kind of nebulous right now. There's a sign on the door if you walk by and the windows are papered over, so you can't really see what's going on in there. But the sign reassures people that, you know, your beloved drinking hole is still going to be here, but we're going to make some much needed repairs. What those repairs are, TBD. I don't know.
What, if any, say does the Landmark Commission? We know they have something to say about the outside. Do they have anything to say about the inside of an institution?
Well, there's an effort right now to landmark the interior of the White Horse because you have all these amazing light fixtures and these like beautiful like wooden bar countertops.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are worried, and I think rightfully so, that, you know, they could do whatever they want to the interior. It sounds like, I mean, one would hope they don't because that is such a huge part of, you know, why people go to the White Horse, but that still has yet to become a thing. I think it's pretty rare for places to get landmarked inside in New York City, though. That's in motion.
And objectively, are they good guys or bad guys based on their past behaviors and holdings?
That's a very diplomatic way to phrase that question. So the building was bought by Steve Croman, who, to put it lightly, has a reputation for...
Ben, not so subtle.
Yeah. He has a reputation for strong-arming rent-stabilized tenants out of their apartments with really gross tactics, like turning off the heat and water. But the person who is renting the space is Eitan Sugarman, who is a restaurateur who has a couple of places around Midtown. And, I mean, you know, the jury's out. Like, people are waiting to see what he does. And some people say, you know, I think he really has the best interest in mind, but also change is inevitable. Like, what's going to happen remains to be seen.
TBD.
Yeah.
I have to get this last story in because it is a crack up. West Side Market customer dissatisfied with Angel of Death message on mozzarella.
Yeah. I don't know why He's so dissatisfied with this.
So this is, I frequent where this happens, this certain market, and they have an amazing cheese section, yeah. and they have these labels that they print themselves. So these labels have been having death messages, or what's going on?
So many years ago, we did a profile sort of on this cheesemonger there, Peter the Doctor Daniels, and he had been leaving like Springsteen quotes and like literary references on the label where there's like room to describe the cheese. He would just put like lyrics or quotes there. And then it went away for a while. And then this past weekend, someone sent me a photo of cheese that they had purchased. And it said, it was prophesized in the late 20th century that an angel of death shall waste this place.
and normal cheese language.
Well, the first sentence is made from pasteurized cow's milk, yeah. salt. It was prophesized in the late 20th century. That's the next line.
And it's signed the doctor. So it's the same guy who we had spoken with years ago. But when I called the place, they were like, no, he doesn't work here anymore. Maybe he like left a poem or something for.
Ooh. Or maybe he has a copycat.
Or maybe an apprentice. Yeah.
Or he's in a dark, dark place.
Maybe he comes in at night and like pre-makes these labels still.
Maybe it's like Doctor Who where he gets regenerated every season
yeah.
or so.
And then the guy who bought it was very angry that they would not take the cursed cheese back and that they made him keep it. And they're like, it's fine. It's just cheese.
It's a blessing, maybe.
Why wouldn't you want that?
Why wouldn't you want that cheese?
That's like a souvenir.
Yeah.
Now I know what I'm doing this weekend. I'm going to go look at all the cheese.
Yeah, look carefully.
Paula, Jen, and Ben, thanks so much. We'll see you guys next week.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, Nixita Richardson from Grub Street will be in the studio. She's written a piece about 14 affordable standout restaurants in New York you should check out. With a twist, the 14 were recommended by other top chefs. More after the break.